Welcome, welcome on another episode of Behind the Red. I'm your host, Tim Gaines. And today on our podcast today, my favorite guest yet, I'm so excited to announce, we have the utmost wonderful Frisk Me Good, also known as Sierra.
What's goody?
How's it going? How's it going? For those of you who don't know, she's a designer. Nice with the needle, if you will.
Sewing, the reworking.
Everything. So, you're known for your like your shoe corsets, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Got you. So, just tell us a little bit about how you got started with fashion in itself, you know?
So I guess the beginning of like my fashion and my design journey started like probably right before I graduated from high school. I got my first job ever working at this streetwear store here in Cleveland called Next. And back when I worked there, like it was like, you know, a super like popular store. Like the vibe of the store was like you had to be able to dress to work there. Like you had to have style, like in order to even get hired. Like,
yeah.
You know, so that was the vibe. So I ended up getting my first job there. And, you know, just to backtrack a little bit, I went to Catholic school my entire life. So I never really got, from K through 12, I went to Catholic school. So I was never able, it's crazy. So I was never able to express myself through fashion until I started working at Next. And I never really had like a reason to get dressed until I started working there. So when I started working there, I started buying more clothes, getting more into like my own personal style. Like I used to shop at American Apparel constantly. Like that was my shit. I was working there for a couple years. And then after I graduated, I ended up going to Ohio University. And when I first got there,
Party school.
Went to Ohio University, and like when I first got there, like I was like wanted to be a business major and like wasn't really sure like what I was gonna do, but I ended up meeting other people there who were into fashion too and found out there was a fashion program. So I was just like, fuck it, like I love clothes, like I love fashion, and it sounds interesting, like I'm not gonna be bored, like so fuck it, I'm gonna be a fashion major. And from there, like I started joining other organizations like at OU that had to do with fashion. Like I was in a modeling organization, like I joined a couple magazines, and then I ended up starting my own fashion magazine at OU. It's still there. It's called Variant Magazine, and it was like the first mass printed fashion magazine at Ohio University. So
how do you even go about doing a fashion magazine? Do you have to like reach out, find publishers? Were you like writing the blogs yourself? Were you like finding other people who you like knew had a sense of fashion too?
So I had like an executive board. So I was like the president. I had a vice president, a PR person, like
in charge from day one. All right.
I was the CEO of the motherfucking magazine. Yeah. Like it was lit. Yeah. Like I was on top of the world. Like, and from there, like we just started recruiting people. Like, you know, we have like a fair every year where you recruit people. So got a lot of members from that. And like, you know, it was also like a modeling thing. So I would just like walk around campus and see if I seen anybody that looked like a bad bitch. I was like, come on. Or they just look good. Like, come on. Like, come model for the magazine. So, you know, we ended up getting, like, hundreds of members. And, like, it was pretty lit. So, but then, fast forward a little later, like I said, I went into this just, like, not even knowing what I wanted to do. So, I didn't start sewing until my junior year of college when my dad bought me a sewing machine for Christmas, and I just like made my first outfit. It was not made correctly by
the standards. What was the first fit? What was it? A top and bottom? What was it?
Yeah, I made a top, and I made like this skirt. It was like red and pleather, and like I used a pattern that I had. I used a pattern that I had laying around, and it came out cute, but it wasn't right. But it was cute though. So I was like, okay, I see the vision. This might be it. So
you got the idea.
I had the idea in my head at that point. So I even like shot pictures in the magazine, like of the outfit and everything. So I was like, okay, this is it right here. So still kind of didn't know I wanted to be a designer yet until my senior year, when on my 21st birthday, my outfit didn't come on time for my birthday. So me and my roommate like ran around town all day. And you know, Athens, Ohio is like literally the middle of fucking
Yeah, Canada. I'm like, what you running around town for? What you gonna find out there?
Listen,
like,
I mean, we got Walmart, Route 21. The options was not looking hot. And it was fucked up. And then we were like, wait, we got a Joann Fabrics here. Let's just make our outfits. And like, I had already envisioned like a red bodycon dress. So I was just like, all right, let's go. So bought that, made it. And that night, like, I just knew. I was like, all right, I am a fashion designer. Like, this is the avenue that I need to be on. Like, so, and I was like wishing that I would have like known that sooner, so I could have went to design school. But I was like, all right, fuck it. At this point, YouTube gonna have to be my best friend, because like, hey, I don't even know where to go from here.
YouTube, so, University, trust me, I done learned a lot from YouTube, more than anything it taught me, for real. But okay, go ahead.
No, same. Literally taught me everything I knew. So fast forward a little more, I ended up graduating from OU, and like I said, I had the magazine, like I had everything. I was on top of the world, like I had a reason to be creative. And when like I left that environment, like it kind of like felt like it took a part of me. I was like, shit, like, why am I even, I don't even have a magazine. What the fuck am I even shooting? Like, it just felt like, you know, real fucked up. And I also like was trying to get a job like in New York or LA, because I had interned in LA like previously. All the people I interned with were like, yeah, I ain't got no opening. It was fucked up. Funny story, I had went to New York for a job, like a seamstress job, even though I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. So it wasn't meant to be anyway. Got the interview, booked my train ticket the same day, and tell me why I got an email like a few minutes later talking about they filled the position, so never mind, after I had got the ticket. So, Yeah. So, and I'm going to New York anyway, did a job interview for some shit that immediately called me back. So I'm like, oh, this is great. Like, maybe I do have something.
Yeah, I got it. Like,
nigga, why was this shit like selling HelloFresh subscriptions on the street? Like, it was some crazy shit. Like, it was some shit. So went home without a job, didn't have shit, and I'm
feeling Read the fine print next time.
Listen, it was like sales job. Like, not gonna really tell you what it is. And it was so ambiguous the whole time, it was fucked up. So went home, and I'm sitting there thinking like, okay, I wanna be a fashion designer. That is all I fucking want at this point. I can't move. I don't have any job options. This is fucked up. So, I'm like, okay, so what do I need to start a clothing line? I need an Instagram, I need clothes, and I need a name. So, I'm trying to start the Instagram. I'm like, fuck, what am I going to name this shit? Like, and I was, like, thinking shit like Sierra Leone, like, Designs by Sierra. Like, I was thinking all type of shit. But then I was like, wait, my Instagram name has been Frisk Me Good since I was in high school.
Has it really?
Yes.
Because I'm like, that's the hardest tag of all time. Like, I was like, how'd you come up? I thought you bought it. I'm like, you had to buy this from someone.
No, I made that shit up in high school.
I thought it was from like the Rihanna lyric.
Yes, it is. Okay, she says, make sure you frisk me good. Check my panties and my bra. On Rockstar. And yeah. I was a hardcore Rihanna fan at that point. So it was only right.
She used to release music, you know.
Exactly. So, literally had that tag since high school, and I was like, "Fuck it, everybody already know me as Frisk Me Good, so it's gonna be Frisk Me Good." And then that's how Frisk Me Good started, like, you know, as far as like the line and shit. So,
man, that's wild though. Like, and that's like mad inspirational, because I feel like a lot of people, you know, like want to get into fashion, this and that, but they don't really know how. But it's just like, honestly, you got me wanting to buy a sewing machine right now. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm sitting here like,
do it. Do it.
You never know what could happen. You know what I'm saying?
You never know. You never know.
And it's crazy because you've always had like the business aspect though, because like, you know how to lead a team, even from doing a newspaper thing or the magazine thing. So you originally started with business, and then you switch your major to fashion. So do you feel like majoring in business helped you like get that business edge of that most artists kind of need, because I feel like a lot of artists have the talent, but they don't really got the business mindset, and like that's really the 90% of the industry is the business side, but the 10% is like the artist side. You know what I'm saying?
So funny story, I actually never got into the business school because the requirements was hard as fuck. Prereqs, nigga, I had to be in calculus 6. I was like, oh no, we gonna have to slow this down a little bit. But it was some crazy ass shit, and I was not ready for it. So, but I was a marketing minor, so I feel like that's where a lot of like my like you know business mindset like came from. And on top of that, like running the magazine and stuff definitely helped.
Pitching the product. Word. That is what's up. That's mad. I feel inspired now. That's crazy. You got me smiling. So you and Adidas recently did a collab with their most recent summer campaign, I believe. Tell us a little bit about that.
Hell yeah. So I actually got to design for Ivy Park, which is obviously like Beyonce's line, which is like a huge dream for me, like to even be able to do something like that. Like I never even like saw the correlation that like me and Ivy Park would fit so well. And like, you know, just getting the opportunity with them was dope as fuck. Like, I mean, they're so genuine and like, cool as fuck. Like I fuck with the Beehive and the Beehive fuck with me.
Of course. you sworn in now, you know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
That's dope. So what was your exact design on that campaign? Elaborate a little bit for the people who like haven't seen it yet.
So you'll see like it's like on the first like what like 3 seconds of the video, like you'll see like my sneaker bustier pop up. And it's like, you know, like a bra with the corset connected to it. So, but yeah, it came out dope as fuck though.
What shoe was that that you dissected for that one?
That's like Ivy Park's like newest shoe for their collection.
I've never seen that shoe before. I was like, what is that? Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's dropping with the collection. So it'll be dope as fuck.
Word. So, working with like big brands and stuff like that, being a black female creator in like this industry, you know, like I don't feel like there's that many of you, you know what I mean? So like, how is it, you know, being like, I guess one of a few? We're not that many that get the recognition, you know what I'm saying?
No, you're so right about that. You know, it feels really good because like, I feel like that has been like my goal as far as like being a designer. Like, I feel like it's just so important to me because like, you know, I think back on like other black women who, I mean, if you just even think about the major designers that we know off the top of the head, none are owned by black women, and that's very bothersome to me. And like, I feel like, I mean, even like when I'm like doing research on the history of like black women in fashion, there's so little of us. And then not only that, but like the way we've been taken advantage of, like, over time. Like, I mean, a lot of black women used to be, like, seamstresses and, like, you know, dressmakers and stuff like that. I mean, even, for example, I think the designer's name is Ann Lowe. She made shit for, like, I think the Kennedy's wife. And, like, she designed the dress, worked her fingers to the fucking bone. Word. And it was, like, a white designer that took the credit for it. So, I mean, there's been, like, a crazy history of, like, black women being taken advantage of and, like, being, like, thrown to the side and, like, not even ever getting recognition. So, like, it's just really, like, my mission and to, like, be that black woman. And, like, this is another funny story that's, like, really crazy that, like, also, like, solidified, like, that I am on this earth to be a designer. So when I first started designing, this was like my first year of designing, and like, I'm not gonna lie, like I was very close to like not giving up, but I was feeling so discouraged. Like, I felt like I didn't know what I was doing. Like, I felt like it was hard. Like, I was having like a lot of like self-doubt. I was having a lot of self-doubt, and I just so happened to like see everybody like using this app, and it was called like the Google Arts and Culture app or something like that. And you had to, like, take a selfie of yourself, and it would show you a piece of art that you look like.
Word.
The picture that I got back was a black woman from the 1930s sewing. A painting. I'm getting chills just talking about it. Like,
word.
She looked just like me, and she's sewing. And I had took that picture on a humble. Like, I had my bandana on. Like, I was looking crusty. I was just like, nigga.
You said, let me get to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's so crazy. That, and then just, I don't know. I, like, cried, too, because I was just like, damn. What if that's, like, what if I'm a reincarnation of her?
Yeah.
And she never got the chance to be that as big as Gucci and as big as, you know, she never got the chance to do that.
Because black women at that time, obviously, were going through the ringer, you know what I'm saying? Even now, today, you still are. But it's like, you know, back then, it was, like, way less opportunity, you know?
Exactly. So I just think about everything that she went through and other black women who have wanted to be designers or dreamed of living this type of, like, life. I mean, not that my life is like me, but I'm sure they have, like, my ancestors lived their life so I could live my dream. And, like, that really solidified my mission and why I'm here, and I have to be a designer. No. Yeah, I have to be a designer. I am a designer.
It was written, you know what I mean?
It was written.
That's what's up. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Crazy as fuck.
So, man, that's different. So, I guess let's go into Fashion Week. Let's start with New York Fashion Week coming up. First off, your hair with the Como de Garcon hearts.
Oh,
fire. Fire. I was like, damn, got me ready to cut mine off and get it dyed.
Listen, like, I'm about to shave my shit again. I'm like, hey, hell yeah.
I feel you. So tell us about Fashion Week a little bit.
Yeah, no, Fashion Week was really dope for New York Fashion Week last year. Wait, was that? Yeah, that was last year. Yeah. New York Fashion Week last year. It was lit. That was actually my first New York Fashion Week. And got the opportunity to be in two shows.
Yeah.
Damn near a couple of hours apart. That was crazy. But we had
outfit swaps. Okay.
Yeah, it was a lot. But we had a good time. I mean, I feel like, you know, the Frisky fam, we always come out and show out. And it was really dope. And it was a really good experience. And I'm excited for what this year Fashion Week is going to be like.
Yeah. So LA Fashion Week, you had like your own Your own, like, models on your runway, right?
Yeah, I did have a few.
And you were a part of, who was it in collab with? It was LA Fashion Week was who your runway was with, correct?
It was, like, sponsored by Stella Artois.
Okay.
Yep, it was LA Fashion Week and Stella Artois, so.
Got you. So how was that, I guess, getting your models ready, like, picking each individual, like, I guess, corset for them to wear, you know what I mean? Would you, like, base it off of, like, you already had the corset ready, or would you, like, this model looks best in this kind of thing?
Yeah, I kind of just go with who looks best in what. Honestly, LA Fashion Week, that was one of the most professional fashion shows I've ever been to. Like, I mean... Yeah, professional, and, like, I felt like, you know, I really did feel like it ran very smoothly. It was very, like, they were on point. Like, I had people to help me, like, put the shit on, like, a lot of people to help. So that was amazing. Like, it was, that was one of the best fashion show experience I've had thus far, for sure.
Okay, dope, because the pictures came out amazing on it, you know what I mean? I was like,
it felt so amazing, like, especially, like, when I walked out, like, it felt so surreal, like, I was like, wow, like, I want to keep experiencing that.
So when you design your pieces for the Fashion Week, like, what goes into your mind first? Are you just thinking, like, I want to hit them with something completely different, or you're just trying to pull something that you always been, like, wanted to experiment with and just finally showcase it? Like, what kind of, like, what's going through your mind?
You know, for LA Fashion Week, it was kind of like, because I only had, like, what? I think I had 2 weeks to put together a 20-look collection. And
20? Wow. I mean,
some stuff I already had. I had about, like, maybe five or six things that I already planned on showing.
Yeah.
But when I say... That was wild. Like, that was fucking wild. Like, I put that together, like, in, like I said, 2 weeks. You know, at that point, I was really, like, in a rush and doing what I could afford to do. So that was kind of, like, where I was at. But, yeah,
I mean, it came out great though. Like,
that is, yeah, they came out amazing. That's ridiculous. 20 pieces. That's I never understood, like, the, I guess, like, the work that goes into it. You know what I mean? And, like, do you make these, like, just yourself, or do you have help making it, or is it just like?
Oh, it's just me.
It's just you, solo, just dolo. Me. Wow.
Yeah, it's very stressful on my own, but I mean, I don't really have another choice. I can't afford manufacturing, and that's kind of how my journey started. It was like, okay, yeah. I wanted to mass produce, but that bitch ain't got it like that. So that's
not yet.
So yeah, I'm still there, and I've been 5 years into my business. So I hope my break is coming real soon for that part.
We talked about what happened before. It's coming.
Yeah,
it's coming.
No, dead ass.
And so, speaking of that, like, you are, your name's definitely in a lot of people's mouths. Like, you know, you're like definitely well known in this fashion world, like, indefinitely. So with that being said, you recently had Sierra modeling. Was it the Jordan 6?
Yes.
The Jordan. Yeah.
I think. Yeah. I'm like, is it the 6s or the 7s? And the 1s.
And the 1s, that's all the 1s, yeah.
She was in the 1s too, so yeah, that was a dream come true. That I was.
How did that go about?
So you know, I've worked with Cardi in the past, and
yeah,
I've gotten reached out to by Colin Carter, who is her stylist, and Colin also styles for Sierra as well. So Colin reached out to me. I mean, he knew I was the girl for the job, gave me another chance, and I got flew out by them 2 times for this project.
Okay.
They were working on it for like a month long or so or longer, I don't even know, but they were working on it for a while and definitely going hard. So yeah, they brought me in once to do her custom Balenciaga look, and then they also got me to do the bodysuits as well. Which I wasn't even expecting that. I didn't even not think they was about to hit me back up, but hit me back up for the bodysuits. Ended up 1 and 2. Oh yeah, and I made her custom pair of shoes as well. So
what kind of shoes? The Balenci's or?
The Balenciagas was the first one, and then the second one I made her like a custom pleaser, which is like a stripper heel had the Jordans on it as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn. That's fire. So what's it like working with like these big time celebrities? Are you like trying not to get like starstruck at first? You know what I mean? That pep talk on, yo, it's just business. No. Like, with these normal people before you get in the room and try not to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I always keep my cool. Like, I mean, it'd be crazy. Like, it feels like surreal. Like, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, oh my God, I'm right in front of you. But, you know, in person, I'm like, hi, I'm Sierra, how are you? Like, you got to keep it professional. Like, you cannot be like, oh my God, like, because they're not going to want to work with you no more. Like,
no, for real.
They're not going to want to work with you. You weird as fuck. And, like, I mean, yeah. I feel it. So, yeah. But it's, like, really dope, like, getting to, like I said, it feels so surreal getting to, like, see these, like, huge stars in person and getting to work with them and, like, you know, seeing how cool they are and shit. It's pretty dope.
Yeah, most definitely. And since you've worked with like big stars like what, Cardi B, Sierra, Kat Graham.
Dee Simone from the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race season 13.
Yeah. Have you thought about like designing anything for like men yet, or is that like something you thought about, or are you only for the ladies? You know what I mean? I want to rock some too.
Yeah, I know. You know what I mean? I get that question so much from men. It's crazy. I do have menswear, but I do like mostly like kind of customs menswear. I really need to like really like go hard with the men shit, but like it's just it's hard because I'm a woman and like I want to make shit for myself when I do get a chance to get like some dope sneakers or like some dope materials. Like I'm always thinking about me, so it's kind of hard, like, you know, trying to think for a man and like I mean, menswear is cool, but like I am a woman's wear designer, and I'm a branch out. I'm gonna do a little man soon, but
no, I respect that. Keep it real, you know what I mean? I respect that, you know what I mean?
Hell yeah,
part of the brand, the Fresh Me Good, you know?
Hell yeah, it's on the way though, I swear.
Most def. So you also like to incorporate like sustainability in the fashion, like reusable wear, I'm assuming. Okay. Like, for example, like, I know Jaden Smith came out with that one sneaker. It was, like, made out of all old recycled former pairs that just didn't get bought in manufacturing or whatever. Oh, yeah. So, like, every pair is, like, made from a different, like, material, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, have you thought about incorporating sustainability more into, like, other things, you know what I mean? Like, other than shoes and dissecting stuff? Or?
Yeah, for sure. I've been, like, honestly, like, even, like, branching out into furniture. I'm going to have a little show and tell.
I was about to ask about that, actually, because I saw the chair you made.
My chair that I'm sitting on. Excuse the cat, because you about to see the cat, because he was sitting behind me. But, you know, I do a little dibbling and dabbling in the front and stuff like that. So
I like it.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm branching out for sure. I'm definitely trying to expand my avenues as far as like sustainability and see how I can push it further. So so yeah, you know, and also like I feel like another thing with me is like, I mean, yes, I'm all about sustainability, but I'm also trying to focus on circularity as well. And what I mean by that is like, you know, a lot of times, like, yes, we can keep buying recycled stuff, but like I feel like also like with my post-production materials, like I be trying to find ways that like they just don't end up in a landfill, you know what I'm saying? So even like the soles, like I've accumulated like literally thousands of soles, and I've kept every single one of them, and I usually sell them to other footwear designers who are looking for like lower. So people that make custom ones and people that make custom Jordans.
That's a whole different market. That's like
another hustle that I've gotten into. I sell shoe boxes, so.
I actually might have to hit you up for that. I definitely, because I resell shoes myself, and like, like obviously with the used pairs, you need some like replacement boxes. You feel me?
So, yeah. No, I got. Listen, hold up. You see. All
I was gonna
that
say. Here. I definitely see the. Yes.
I got hella shade. The Nike boxes be gone though, but when I get them,
I already know. For sure.
Hell yeah! But I usually sell those on like, you know, Poshmark and Mercari and shit like. So, you know, I'm really just trying to get into, like, how can I make money from the shit that is supposed to be getting thrown away? Or how can I, like, use that to make something new? The shit that I was going to throw away, you know? So I just be trying to keep shit and find a use for it and make sure it doesn't get thrown away.
No, I feel that. What is it? I meant to ask, what was the first shoe that you dissected? That was one thing I was thinking about. Like, the first shoe you decided to, like, let's just cut this motherfucker up and see what happens.
Yeah, you know. So that's a funny story too. So it was kind of by chance, because I was actually in my first design competition in 2019, and it was called Fashion Mania 2K19, and it was in Cleveland. And it's not fucking normal to have a design competition in Cleveland, but I was like sitting at home watching Project Runway and shit, and I was like, I want to be in a design competition. So I just started like looking up design competition shit, and I found that, and I was like, oh shit. But funny story was, the competition had been going on since October, and it was about to happen in February, and I had found out about it in January. So when I hit them up, I wasn't even sure I was gonna be able to be in it, but I got in it. They were all for it. They were like, come through, like blah blah blah. So I was like, great. So one of the challenges that they gave us was to create something without using fabric. And
really?
Yeah, that was one of the challenges. The other two challenges were to make something without using thread, and then to make something with this like dress that they gave me. And it was like, because ironically, the lady who was running the competition owned a dress shop in the mall, called North Royalton or whatever fuck. So yeah, we got an old dress, and she told us to, you know, upcycle that bitch. And then my theme that they gave me was like rock star, so it was just perfect. It was like Frisbee Good, Rihanna, rock star. The theme is rock star, you know, and it made the corset. But I had like the most trouble coming up with like the no fabric thing. And like when I'm working, I like keep on YouTube and shit, and I be watching Vice, and like an episode of Vice came on about a guy who made gas masks out of shoes, and I was like, oh shit, I'm gonna use shoes.
Word.
So yeah. Word. And yeah. I didn't win the competition though. I ended up getting second place, but it was cool because it was all the sketchy shit going on, and we had to like kind of, and then it was a prize like money and shit, and they was trying to run off on the money, and I ended up getting my money, so I don't even know if the winner even got their money.
Damn.
So I was lucky I didn't win. So, but I won in so many other ways. So.
Yeah, like the experience, the what's the word? Like, it's on the tip of my tongue. Like knowing that you're dope, you know what I'm saying? It's like that's confirmation.
Yeah,
like,
validation.
Okay.
Yeah, validation. It was very validating. It was. And I was in that competition against people who have been sewing for years, and this was like my third year. And just to know, I was like, okay, well, I'm good enough. Like the fuck. Yeah.
And what's crazy is like I swear I've been seeing like your pictures about your corsets and stuff since maybe like 2019. Like, how long was it till after you started making the shoe stuff till it started popping?
I'm not gonna lie, it took a minute. Like, really? I don't know what you consider popping, but like,
were you noticed attraction? Like the notice, like pages reposting you type stuff, or like,
shit.
You know what I mean?
You know, so I had this. My first ever like viral article that like really started to make me known was through this platform called Hype Bay.
Yeah.
And they wrote an article on me. And when I say that article did numbers, like that bitch had like 50,000 likes on that bitch. I was like, shit. So then after that, more publications started reaching out to me. I started noticing my shit being like, what I can't remember, I think it's called Weibo or something, but it's like the Chinese Twitter, and like my shit was going viral on there, like, and yeah, the picture that was on Hype Base was going viral, and it just, that picture just kept going viral, and like, yeah,
the power of the internet. That's crazy
power of the internet. So it was probably after the Hype Base article is when shit started actually, like, I started getting noticed for real.
That's dope. So I feel like you came a long way, you know, we've been through like the ups and downs every artist has. Like, what are some struggles you've faced as like an artist or like designer?
Yeah, it's a lot, but the main one I guess has been really like finances and money and shit, like, and being able to afford like to run a whole damn business and like keep the customer satisfied and like, you know, just trying to figure out like what is like my like path, like what is the path of my business, like what is the structure, figuring out the structure of everything, like finances have been a big thing at the beginning. Learning how to do it was the biggest thing. Figuring out how to sew, that was hard. What else? It doesn't bother me now, but at the beginning, I guess like criticism, it never made me want to give up or anything, but I was just like, you know, people talking shit about my shit, and then me having to defend myself, and then me defending myself turning into like World War III and people coming at me. It's just like learning how to like, and then even learning like when people steal your idea or whatever, not saying shit, like, because I've learned that that's bit me in the ass like a lot, just saying shit, just trying to stand up for yourself as an artist.
So that's a real thing I was gonna ask. Like, I know people definitely imitate, you know what I'm saying? So like when that happens, you just like prefer to stay quiet about it, like, like really? Because I don't know how I would feel. You know what I mean?
Up now, because really, I've gotten so much backlash. Anytime I stand up for myself in a situation like that, I get so much backlash. I don't even say shit no more. I just let niggas argue. I'll let, like, I'll repost it to my friends, and I let my friends stand up for me, like, instead of me saying some shit, because it's just so fucked up every time. And then people, especially like random people, they will say shit to like play on your self-esteem and like say shit like, yo, shit is ugly anyway, but even though y'all did the same exact thing, and then it's just like all this shit, like, so it's just like I don't even welcome that energy anymore, you know. Nah, I've learned that, to not even welcome that energy and to not even acknowledge it. Keep it to your fucking self, because it's gonna be, I don't know, unless like fucking like Shin steal some shit, like, or something like that. Like, that's probably
get the lawyers ready. Get the lawyers ready.
Right, okay. That's probably the only time you're going to see me say something. But other than that, I'm probably not going to say shit. Like, especially like just arguing with people online. It's just not been a good energy. So yeah, I'm trying to.
There's just one saying. They say that imitation is one of the highest forms of like compliments. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like if people are like copying my stuff, that clearly means I'm doing something right. You know what I mean?
I flattery. Feel that. Me personally, you know? I hate it though. I'm sure it's flattering or whatever, but I don't like it. But
come
I
up with your own it. Shit. You hear that? Come up with your own shit out there. You know?
But hey, this is this is life.
I got you. I got you. So, before we get out of here, you know, what are some, I guess, words of inspiration you have to like someone who's just like other creators out there who, you know, are like going through like the same thing you're going through or just like still on their ups and downs, trying to find their way to up their brand, you know?
Yeah. I just say, just keep putting out content. Don't stop. The more shit you got out in this world that the world can see, the better. Take full advantage of social media, because I feel like for me, like living in a small town, it's not a small town, but like, you know, living in a not big city, you know what I'm saying? Not a New York or not a LA or not a Miami, you know what I'm saying? The thing that's helped me the most, I feel like personally, is social media and just putting myself out there. And I feel like, I mean, don't worry about judgment from other people. If people hate it, they hate it. If people love it, they love it. But I mean, what I've learned at the end of the day is design and art in general is all subjective, and there are going to be people who love it and there are going to be people who hate it. And at the end of the day, the people who hate it ain't going to stop your bag, and just keep going. And if you haven't already started anything, start that shit today and quit playing, and don't quit making excuses, because I started this shit with literally nothing. Like nothing at all. Like I donated fabric and just found an Instagram name on a whim, and just so I just be thinking like, if I didn't have the mentality back then, like, okay, I need to start this shit today, I might not be 5 years into this and like created all this whole world around me that I have. So
facts.
So yeah, just start now and keep going.
Word. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Once again, we got Frisk Me Good. Instagram tag, spell it out for him.
FriskMeGood.
Of course.